Good morning, Emmanuel. This morning, if you want to turn to your sermon notes, we're going to be looking again at the book of Daniel and the nine tests given by God that are found in this book. And this morning especially, we want to look at the test of what happens when you're thrown into the fire. What happens when the heat's on in your life? What do you do then? And we can listen to the words and read the words we see on the screen. King Nebuchadnezzar made a giant gold image of himself, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. You talk about a president who has an ego trip. King Nebuchadnezzar eclipses them all. Then he gives this order to all of his officials. Anytime you hear the royal orchestra start playing music, you are to immediately drop everything, fall to your knees, and bow and worship the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. This whole thing about the king, it's gone to his head. I mean, it's not enough to be top D-O-G. He wants to be top G-O-D. He wants to think of himself as God. You know, this is the oldest temptation around. You remember back when we were studying Genesis? The serpent came to Adam and Eve. And what did he say? If you eat of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, you'll become like who? You'll become like God. This is the oldest temptation that's around. And he's got a little stick and carrot thing going on, King Nebuchadnezzar does. He says, anyone who does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the fiery furnace. So as soon as they heard the music, everybody bowed down before the statue and worshiped the image of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you're going through hell right now, if there's heat in your life, if today is the day you want to make a change in your life, then maybe God has providentially brought you here to Emmanuel or here by way of live stream this morning, in order that you might hear the words from Scripture. And one of the things we learn as we trust God is that, first of all, we don't need to worry about defending ourselves. Just quietly trust God to take care of our needs. After all, God is a whole lot better at putting out fires than we are. He is a bit bigger fire hose than we do. King Nebuchadnezzar then asked them, who is the God who will deliver you out of my hand? And their answer, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. In other words, we're not going to try to defend ourselves. You know who we believe in. God will take care of us. As a matter of fact, secondly, we need to remember that God has the power to save us. In Daniel 3:17, they said, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we worship will be able to save us. Wow! What a statement of faith. We know that God's got the power to save us, and not only that, number three, we believe that God will save us. That's how they responded to the king. They said, he will save us from your power, O king. Think about this. These were three young men standing up against a very formidable king. And they say, we're not going to. We're not going to kiss up. We're not going to fess up. We are stand-ups. Only God can save us. He's got the power and he'll do it. And then number four, even if he won't do it, God will be with us anyway. Even if God doesn't save us, we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you set up. We're never going to back down. And so these young men knew something that we should never forget. It's not a question of if. It's a matter of when the heat is going to go on in your life. It's only a question of when we're going to be thrown into the fire. And at that moment, we have one of three things that will occur. Either as we go into the fire, God will stop it. He'll put a wall there before the fire and say, no, I'm going to protect you from the fire. You're not going to be in that accident. The guardian angel is going to be there and keep you from getting hurt or keep you from getting into this predicament. And we thank God. That's the best of all worlds. We were spared from what would have been a very terrible time. And you've all been there where you've seen what could have been and how God avoided that. The second option is God will take you through the fire. He'll take you through the fire to the other side. And he'll be with you along the way through the crisis. And a third option is he's going to bring you into the crisis and he's going to save you by the crisis. What I mean by this is sometimes the things that we consider problems in our life are not the problem. The problem is keeping us from the real problem. A year and a half ago, I went to my neurosurgeon because I was having excruciating pain in my neck. And they did an MRI. And I wanted that neck problem to go away, but I didn't want another surgery. And they said, if you don't have a surgery, the vertebrae is pushing into your spinal column, and there's a good chance you'll be paralyzed. I said, how soon can I have the surgery? And so they fused three vertebrae in my neck, which is why I'm a little bit stiff in looking around. I thought the problem was the pain in the neck. I didn't realize what the real problem was until we looked at it more deeply. Sometimes God will allow us to have problems because he wants to save us. Why does God allow such pain and heat and fire to come into our lives and our families and our world? The answer is because we're not in heaven. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but we're in a broken world with broken people and broken government and broken society, and we're broken too, and that's why we confess our sins and receive absolution. And we know that God has come into this broken world and he has saved us from it through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. We're in this world, and when things happen to us and the fire is burning inside us, sometimes it's to refine us. 1 Peter 1 says, so your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested so that by it you may endure. Remember how we've said, with every blessing comes a testing. That oftentimes before we receive a blessing to be able to be a even better steward of God's gifts, he will test us to see if we have now the capacity and the care and the desire to be faithful to him when he does give us the blessing. Because God is so much more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. This isn't heaven. We're in preschool, and we're learning things about how we should live on planet Earth to prepare us for that day when we're going to be in heaven. And if nothing bad ever happened to us, if everything came on a silver platter all of our life, you would be a spoiled little brat that nobody would want to hang around with, right? It's through these things that happen to us, we learn to share, we learn to give, we learn that there's more to life than just me and myself and I. God's far more interested in our salvation than he is in our security. Sometimes God saves us by putting the heat on us. This morning, I've asked a person to come up to share a little bit about a time when heat was in his life and how God delivered him. His name is David Hembree. David, would you come forward?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, after a 23-year career with the YMCA and serving in what I felt was a mission and even a calling, the local Y that I was working with was facing bankruptcy. And so therefore, I was laid off along with other senior staff. So at 56 years old, I found myself laid off. I'd never been without work for more than 2 weeks ever since I started working. And so I was very frightened. I was hurt deeply because I considered it a mission and a calling. I also had to battle bitterness and resentment. So a lot was seemingly lost at the time. But I had Jesus, and I also had care. So during that time, I was out of work for 3 months. First time I'd ever collected unemployment. That was already an experience I wasn't used to. We had bills to pay, a mortgage. There was a lot of pressure, and I felt the pressure. But knowing that God is there and knowing that there's always hope just kind of kept me going. And I can tell you now that during that time, he already knew what was going to happen. He already knew that I had a new assignment, but I just didn't know. I was waiting for that new assignment. Well, I've been with Fresno State for about 5 years now. It's the best job I've ever had in my life. And I believe that God already had that for me a long time ago. And he knew that that was his best for me. I just had to go through the fire a little bit. Didn't like it at all. But I'm better off, and I can look back now and think, wow, he really does know what he's doing. So I want to thank you for letting me share that little bit with you, and appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, David.
Something to see when you're going through a situation and you don't like it at the time, but in hindsight, as you're saying, it ended up being for the better. And through it all, you weren't there alone. While you were in that fiery furnace, Christ was there with you, giving you that faith, sustaining you through his word and through the witness of your wife and others around you. And what a wonderful testimony to see. As we conclude our message this morning, in your sermon notes, I've written a couple of thoughts that we might take with us. And this is what happens next to Daniel's three friends in chapter 3, verses 20 through 23. Then the king ordered some of his strongest soldiers to bind their hands and feet with ropes and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully clothed. But because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. Whoops. But securely tied up, they fell down into the blazing flames of the furnace. Now, what happened? Notice what happens next. Three things. If you remember these three things, when you're going through the fire as David had, then you're going to know that when the heat's on, that time when you feel like everything is just burning up, that time when you feel under enormous pressure, those times when you feel that everything is just cratering all around you and you're just not knowing how you're going to survive, then you're going to turn out fine. These are the points. When you're going through the fire, number one, God will walk through the fire with you. God will walk through the fire with you. What a big relief to know that. It's what Isaiah, or Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Think about those words. You're walking, you're not staying in the valley, you're walking through it. And you're in there for a time. And it's not death, but it's only the shadow of death. It may appear to be bad, but it's only the shadow. And you're not alone, because the Lord is there walking with you through it to the other side. He says again and again in the Bible, "I will be with you. I will be with you." And then this is what happens next. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumps up in amazement and he asks his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them in the furnace?" "Yes, we did," his advisor said. "Well, look now," he shouted. "You can see four men now walking around freely in the fire, unharmed. And this fourth man looks like the son of the gods." And that was a case of a theophany, a time when the Christ, the second person of the triune God, appears as the angel of the Lord in the Bible. The Lord Jesus, before he was ever born, Already existed as the eternal Son of God. And he appeared with these three men to keep them out of harm's way. And Jesus was walking in the fire with them. And he's promised to walk in the fire with you too. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Before he went to heaven, he said, I will be with you always, to the very close of the age. I'll always be with you. And that's why Isaiah 43 would write, when you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. And did you notice the word when? It's not a matter of if. And if you're young and you've never been through the fire, it's just a matter of time until that day when the fire comes and the drought comes and the uncertainty comes and you wonder, where are you going to go? Who's going to help me? And it's then when you're alone and the flames are lapping up against you that you know you've got the Lord God alongside you and you don't need to fear, for he's with you every step of the way. That's the first benefit. God's with us. Here's the second one. God will make sure I come out unharmed. Here's what happens. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out at once. And so the three men stepped out of the fire. Notice that Nebuchadnezzar wisely did not ask the fourth man to come out. He didn't want the fourth man to come out. He would see the fourth man on Judgment Day, but not yet. The three, that was fine. Just Shadrach, Meshach, I know you guys, Abednego. They come out, and then this is said. Then the princes and the prefects and the governors and the advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not even touched them. Not a hair of their head was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. These guys, they're unmovable. They're unmovable. They're unbakable. My goodness, I mean, King Nebuchadnezzar, they can't be hoodwinked by the king because they can't be cooked by the king. They're just, God's on their side. God makes sure they'll come out okay, unharmed. Three, it will bring unbelievers to God. This is the whole point. This is the whole reason for the fire. By virtue of their being saved from the flames is a witness to this empire and this emperor that there is a Most High God who rules over all things. I don't know how you go about handling pain. I don't know how you act when the heat is on in your life. I don't know how much you trust God. But anybody can trust God when you've got everything going for yourself. Anybody can say they're a Christian when you're out at the golf course with a padded bank account and good health. But try it sometime when you're in a bed of pain. Try it sometime when you have a terminal illness. Try it sometime when your friends have dropped you like a hot potato and you're all alone in your workplace, all alone at your school and being bullied, all alone in your life. Try it when the heat's on and you're trying to be right with God and you're having to let go of all the things that are around you that were your props up until now. It's then when you find out whether your faith is real. And people will say, how's he doing that? How are they doing that? That, my friends, is a witness that boggles the minds of people around. When you have the faith, when there is no reason to have faith. Then the king said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to rescue his servants. He didn't know it was Jesus. And they trusted in him. What wonderful words. They trusted in him. I hope that when the time comes and they have a tombstone for me, that you'll put on it those words. Ed trusted in him. Nothing else matters. Nothing else counts. I hope that for you too, that you'll have on your tombstone, you trusted in him. You trusted in Jesus. You believed in him through thick and thin. You came to know him as your Savior. You came to see him as the one who had come from God, who was preexistent from all eternity and came into time and space in order to die for your sins and to rise again. I hope you'll be able to say, I trust in him. I trust in him for my life. I trust for him when, like David, the heat is on and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I hope you'll say, I trust in him for eternity when you know your days are numbered and you're looking forward to that life with the Lord in heaven. I hope you'll say, I trust in him when you witness in the streets and you witness in the schools and you witness in the golf course or in your workplace. I trust in him that you'll be not unafraid to be stand up and boldly say, I trust in him. For thousands of years, the word has gone out. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's the way to get our life back together again. And he's the way to heaven. We need him. We need a Savior. Nebuchadnezzar found out what you and I have found out, that there is no other God. There is no one else who's going to bail us out. There is no one else who can rescue us when everything else says that otherwise. We all need a Savior. And whatever is going on in our life and whatever happens in your future, trust Jesus. Let us rise and pray. Oh, Lord God, when I'm walking through the fire, I know that you'll be there with me. I'm never alone. And Lord, when I'm there in the fire, burn away those things that are tying me down. Burn away the misconceptions and the false beliefs that I've held on to. Burn them off, Lord. That relationship that's wrong for me. That addictive habit that's got a hold of me. Burn it out of my life right now, Lord. I'm asking you to give me a new freedom where above all I stand up for you. And God, I'm asking you to use my pain and use my problems to bring unbelievers to you. I'm asking you to give me a faith that other people will want to imitate. Help them see me trusting you when things don't make sense. And today, Lord, once again we ask it, be the Lord of my life. Use me and mold me to serve you no matter what happens to me. I want you to be what is happening in me. Today we pray a special prayer for our members and friends who are homebound, who are suffering and hurting, who are in need of healing, whether a body or mind or spirit. Be with our homebound, Heavenly Father. These and all other requests we have, we bring before you the one who was in the fiery furnace, the one who came to earth to be our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.